Hey there, friends. This is Armand DeMille, bringing you some new stuff for the Missing Thursdays. Well, here's something that I wouldn't have been able to read on radio anyway, because it would have gotten so many responses that I probably couldn't handle them. This is going to be a story about human semen. Semen, that stuff that we've always ignored. The stuff that carries the mitochondria, that carries you. The bath, of which you are like 99% of it, is fluids of different kinds. And less than 1% of it is spermatozoa. So in the words of a psychologist, Jesse Bering, he says the following: I've come across a secret treasure, a heretofore unknown bounty of facts, only recently unearthed by a team of evolutionary psychologists. A vital forewarning, he says. This information will improve your well-being, but it can be abused with tragic, even fatal consequences. This is so much the case that I question popularizing this material. Well, you know, I agree with Jesse Bering. It's kind of a strange thing to be reporting on, but incredibly vital and good. How did we stumble upon this information, which is going to be about the effects of semen and its ingredients and what's in it and how semen affects people? Well, there are two psychologists, Gordon Gallup and Rebecca Baruch, evolutionary psychologists from State University of New York, and they stumbled upon this very strange bit of information, which is that heterosexually active women residing together coordinate their periods. Yep, they have synchronized periods. Now, what does that mean? That means that if you're living with somebody, if you're living with a woman or you're in an office with a woman and you're close enough to her, somehow or other, you synchronize your period. Women know about this. But it is not true, they found. It's called the McClintock effect, by the way, if you ever want to look it up. McClintock. But it's not true about homosexual women. Lesbians, gay women, they don't have this phenomenon. Well, that's why? What's the difference? It's women with women, right? Well, it turns out that it goes even further. Women have partners who use contraceptives also do not synchronize their periods to other women. So it's a matter of a semen-free sex life. If you're a gay woman, or if you're a woman having your partner use contraceptives, it's a semen-free sex life. Therefore, what's the ingredient here that we want to look at? It's semen. Because what is it that happens between women? For some reason or other, women who are heterosexual give off something which is the pheromone. It's kind of a smell, but it's non-detectable. And it turns out that women who are having sex that's non-protected sex, they have a smell about them. A smell is a terrible word. It's kind of a sense about them. Now, did you ever notice if a woman has a lover and she leaves her lover, it turns the head of every man in the streets? Men turn around. Men notice you right away. Men perk up at you. Why is that? Well, it's because it triggers this response called pheromones. that mediates menstrual synchrony. In other words, when you have this, someone else who has this will also be synchronize their periods. And this is not true about nuns. It's a funny thing. Nuns don't synchronize their periods either. But there's no presence of semen. Well, now that's kind of fascinating. So what's fascinating about it? Not, we're going to say something new about women. We're going to talk about gay women. Right, women? Is that recording? Let's see. Okay, let's see where this is leading. Certain chemicals in human semen, through absorption in the body, which could be vaginally, orally, or rectally, affect female biology in such a way that women who have condomless sex literally start to smell different from women who do not. And then it goes even further. What is it, they ask, that's in the semen that makes this happen? Well, okay, we've talked about the biochemistry of practically every part of the body. We never talk about the biochemistry of semen. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, who would have a birthday? Who would be born without it? Gallup and Burke discovered, as they looked into it, that the semen has a chemistry and that virtually nothing was known about how these chemicals affect human biology. So remember, we're talking about semen, not the same thing as sperm. In fact, about 1% of the average human ejaculate consists of sperm. The rest is called seminal plasma. And these are where the little flagellating gametes, flagella meaning they have these little tails, and their gametes, these little cells, and that's where they are, the spermatozoa. Now, medical professionals have known for a long time that inside the woman's body is a great path of absorption for anything, any chemicals. So it turns out that as they looked even further, is what they found, that the semen itself contains 50 different compounds, hormones, neurotransmitters, endorphins, and immunosuppressants, each with a special function and occurring in different concentrations within the seminal plaza. Perhaps the most striking of these compounds is the bundle of mood-enhancing chemicals. Mood-enhancing. Such anxiolytic chemicals include cortisol. There's cortisol in semen. When the cortisol is delivered to someone else, however it's delivered, they get a little bit of cortisol. Cortisol is known to increase energy and affection. Estrone elevates mood. Prolactin, which is a natural antidepressant. Oxytocin, which is a bonding chemical, also elevates mood. Thyrotropin, releasing hormone, another antidepressant. Melatonin, a sleep-inducing agent. That's why people get tired after sex. It's not the exhaustion. And even serotonin, perhaps the most well-known antidepressant neurotransmitter. Given these ingredients, there is even some small mind-altering drugs found in human semen. Now, so they did a study. Women with unprotected sex, women with depressed sex, women with protected sex. The women with unprotected sex showed far less depression than women with who use protected sex. Now, keep in mind, this is Armand DeMille with you. I'm not recommending anything. There's enough disease out there and problems out there. I am not saying you should have unprotected sex. But you should understand that this does make a difference. Even if you feel there is no risk, there is a chemical transmission that takes place when there is sex between two people. They found suicide was 40% higher in women who did not have unprotected sex. So that the sex itself, the semen itself, actually resulted in a feeling of well-being and a feeling of less suicide, less desperation, one would imagine. Now, the most significant findings from this study were that even after adjusting for frequency of sexual intercourse, the women showed fewer depressive syndromes, and as I said, less suicide, okay? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about semen. We're talking about that fluid that accompanies the ejaculate. Okay. Now, of course, there is oral sex in which there is absorption of the semen, but to a much lesser amount. But then there's anal sex. Here's a tough one to talk about, but why? Why do men who are gay prefer so strongly to have what's called bareback sex? Means with no contraceptive. What is it? They're dying for something. It's because of the mood-affecting chemicals of the seminal plasma. The antidepressant effect of it. In fact, one might speculate that homosexual sex has probably more exchange frequency of this antidepressant feeling. I don't mean it as a joke, but the word is gay. You know, gay is the opposite of depressed. Yeah, Armand DeMille here. So we don't know what's going on here. There's certainly a lot of reaction to this. Certainly a lot of negative reaction to even the publishing of this. Let me see now. Someone named Holmer and Warner, they kind of look at the symbolic nature of it. And they say that it all is about a carnal battlefield, but nobody was able to study the energy. Look, you may be beginning to realize that there are dangers for using this information wrong. For both men and women, heterosexual and homosexual, knowing that that there is a natural Prozac available through sex, without also considering, you have to consider the viral arms race involving sexually transmitted infections. I mean, you just have to. You have to look at it. In any event, Gallup and Burke's model reminded us also of that Papua New Guinea tribes, the Sambia, who they do actually semen ingestion rituals. They do this. They drink it especially, and it's supposed to be something that alters the mood. In the past, the semen ritual was conceptualized by cultural anthropologists in symbolic terms. But, you know, it's different than that. Now we're beginning to learn that there is some stuff that actually tells us or has an effect that's different. It's chemical. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? I would never imagine that we could just let this appear in radio because they would have too many objections. So, my friends, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You were born. And in order for you to be born, you had to have been, at one point, a gamete. Right? You were once a sperm. You used a vehicle to travel. You took your own airplane. So with you was delivered a whole bunch of these well-being chemicals that made somebody feel good. I could apologize right and left. I could tell you that this has... I am not endorsing anything or anything like it. I'm just saying that we need more research dollars to investigate this as well as so many other things. So happy birthday to you, my friends. Happy birthday. That means happy that you were born. And happy that you were born because you couldn't have gotten here otherwise. I'll be back with you very soon. And here's a song for you. I'll be back with you tomorrow on the next edition of The Positive Mind.
Happy birthday.